Only cracking me up.
You guys are all giggly. I love it. All right, so Brian's going to be out. He's at the Tony Robbins event. What were you going to say?
I think Scott and I are just punchy.
Punchy? Monday morning, you're punchy.
Yeah.
Lovely. Oh, my gosh, I love that. Okay, let's go around the room. Lane, since you're punchy, you get to go first. What's your one accountability for the week?
I'm very punchy. So accountability, I had a bunch of small actions, but important ones, setting up my funnel for building my email list. And I got just about everything done. Lead pages was having some weirdness, so I had to wait on support there, but got that done and ready to move that forward. So the two things on my list that I did not get done was getting a testimonial from Chris Winfield, one of my recent clients that I just did a project for, because he's not answering his texts. So that could be a bad sign. So maybe I don't want a testimonial from him. But I have been working on that. It is not for lack of trying. And then also I have this, from my reunion, I've got this huge, they call it a class book, where it's contact information and updates on everybody from our class who submitted information. So there's like 800 or 900 people there or more. And I feel like it's just this golden resource that I want to leverage in some way, but I'm trying to figure out a cool way to do it that seems authentic and isn't like just reaching out to people, seeing if anybody wants to hire me, but really like more of an authentic approach. So I haven't done anything with that yet, but that's something that I want to do.
Ooh, that's
some of these people
exciting.
Have, yeah. Yeah. They have such, I mean, some of them are doing really cool things and, I just need to think of a way to do it, but stop. I always try to find the perfect way, and I need to just kind of maybe just start with people from my freshman dorm and reach out and say, hey, just wanted to see what you're up to, Miss Jeff reunion or whatever.
So you just answered your own question. How many of those are you going to do?
I'm going to do 10 of those this week.
Yay. Problem solved, at least for now, and then we'll talk about that next time.
I like that. And then probably the big win was I had a baby shower for my best friend who's adopting a 10-year-old, so it was really fun because we did It's a Boy, but it was like not a baby. It was like a, like they had to guess how big the boy is, and anyway, it was really fun and goofy and just crazy and lots of fun, so I enjoyed that. That was this weekend.
That's
probably punchy.
That's awesome.
It was
amazing.
Awesome. It was really neat. I mean, she's already got triplet boys and a daughter, so she's already got four kids. So this is number 5 for her. So
Wow. She's
pretty incredible. Amazing. Yeah, yeah. So it's exciting. Anyway, that was fun.
Yes.
And balanced all the work stuff. So.
Because we definitely need some of that also. Awesome. So, Scott, since you're the other punchy one, I'm going to let you go next. What are your wins and accountability for the week?
Yeah. I'm looking. Let's see. I think I got 3 out of 3. Yeah. Yay. We are – I'm super excited because we are – right on track, actually. We have to produce $94,000 this quarter. That's what Jamie, you and I had set up, I don't know, what, a month and a half ago or something along those lines. And we're actually, we're right on for our goals for this month. So we should produce right. Thank you. We should produce right around between 34 and 36. We're trending for this month, and that is way more than what we've produced in the past, so I'm way excited about that. And we have
when do you leave to Europe? How much time before
December,
your
December 13th.
Okay.
December 13th.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, no, big push this week. We've got a webinar where we have, I think we have like 300 people scheduled right now, and they're sending a dedicated email today, and that'll probably generate like another 300 to 400 people. And then we have another webinar with a totally different product, totally different person. And that that's not even counted into our revenue. I haven't even counted that any place. So hopefully that'll generate us another 10 grand over the course of the next year. So that's our backup plan. So stuff is working. Fingers crossed.
It is working. That's the best testimony ever, right? Stuff is working. That's amazing. Amazing. All right, so I'm trying to think. So Karen's going to be in the hot seat, and hopefully everybody took a look at that. Arion, you're here, right? Can you do your wins and accountability next? Or did I mistake Scott's voice for Arion earlier?
I haven't heard Arion yet.
Oh, it was. All right, I will text him right now. Monica, I'm going to have you go next. What are your wins and accountability?
Awesome. Well, my big deal was to get this site off the ground and this interim site, which we hustled our asses off all weekend. And assuming we can get our hosting figured out, that's fine, but we're having to switch hosting companies and we're migrating for the second time another 250,000 files. So I don't know if that's going to happen today, but we're kind of at the mercy of this stuff. So we're trying to figure that out, but it'll go live. Very excited because, you know, our team can get a site up in 2 weeks or less, which is awesome. that's the big thing. That was my big win and accountability. Both. I mean, it's just really exciting stuff.
Congratulations, considering my website launches this week and it took us, I don't know, 4 months to do. So, yeah, it's kind of a big deal. Congratulations. and I think that was just Arion that popped on, right?
Yep. Hey, guys. Sorry I'm late.
Oh. Yes, we're so mad at you. We were all having fun without you. Sorry. So, Arion, you're actually up next. Perfect timing. What are your wins and accountability for the week?
You know, it was a little bit of a scattered week. For some reason, I never actually sat down and set the priorities for the week. I mean, overall, the results were pretty good, but it was kind of...
Sorry, do I have to slap you? Do you want me to email your wife again?
Yeah.
I got the note this morning about lighting a fire under Arion's butt. So what are we going to do differently this week before you get into wins?
The results were there, but it's just, you know, it was kind of, you know, you don't feel that much in control when you don't sort of set the course in advance. The big win for me was I signed up for a certified financial planner course at Rice University, which is going to be next year for the entire year. And that's gonna throw me for a loop a little bit because it's gonna add a lot of hours to my schedule that I don't have currently. But I also get the sense that I'm gonna, you know, stretch. And you know, every time I've made a move like that before, it's paid dividends. So I'm looking forward to that. But that was a big win.
Go you! It's funny when we actually feel like that will be a stretch. I think sometimes, especially when you're making quite a bit of money, you're like, oh, things are going well. I don't really have to do as much as I did before, and we don't keep pushing ourselves. So congratulations on that. You noticed. Karen, you are up next. I heard somebody beep. Was it Brian that hopped in? I think he told me he was going to be out today.
It's me. I accidentally dropped my office phone and had to call back in.
We forgive you. Don't worry.
Sorry.
Making extra beeps. I don't know.
I was like, sorry.
It's all good. Karen, you're in the hot seat. Why don't we do wins and accountability first and then lead us in? If you guys haven't checked out the Facebook group where Karen, you know, has just too many clients and doesn't know how to handle it, what problems that we have, go ahead and give us your wins and accountability first.
So accountability, I ended up getting 3 out of 3. One of them being the consultation call with the client that we'll be discussing in a minute. The other, I mean, I consider this a win as well. I hired someone to actually do 2 video testimonials with 2 of my clients that recently just renewed. So they've been through 6 months with me. So they're, you know, they definitely know my style and where they've come in their business. And those 2 testimonials are just epic. So I could not have scripted them that well, honestly. So they're fantastic. And I'm really excited about those and incorporating those soon into my marketing as well. So that's a win. Those are my accountabilities. The other win is, yeah, I had this consultation call with a woman. She was recommended to me by someone else in the industry that doesn't do private coaching, and had never heard of me before, got on a consultation call with me. We spent, I don't know, a little over an hour having a conversation, and going into that consultation call, it was just, my plan was just talk to her about her business and then kind of go to the point of, okay, well, I'm already full and here's, you know, I guess like the waiting list plan. Only apparently I can't do that because the next thing I knew, I started just telling her about, you know, my program and how I feel like I am definitely the one that could support her and move her business forward and put clarity on her path that she's been struggling with all these things. And it was a very passionate phone call, let's say that. And at one point I checked myself and I said to her, actually, like, you can tell I'm very passionate about online marketing and this, you know, what I teach. And she started laughing. She said, you are very passionate and I absolutely love it. So I did what Jamie taught me to do, which was ask her how, you know, on a scale from 1 to 10, where are you in working with me? And at that point, she said a 6 to an 8. So, okay. And I, at that moment, honestly, I kind of felt a little relieved, like, okay, she's not really in that place yet. So then she asked me a few questions, and in answering those questions, apparently I must have just convinced her, because the next morning I did my email, which is typically what I do, a follow-up email. I go over, kind of just recap our conversation, give the benefits again to my program, and then I give the two payment link options. Within less than an hour, she did the pay in full option. I was shocked, honestly, like, wow, okay. So now here I have another client, which brings me to my hot seat today, which is exactly that. So now I have a seventh client that is taking me somewhat out of my comfort zone. Of course, I can handle it, but the idea was manage these private clients. Originally, I said 5, and then I went to 6, and now I'm at 7, so that I can do these other things, the house flipping, the house building, these other things that I want to do with my husband. So my question for all of you with that in mind is a couple things, and I know Ariane and Scott both commented already, but like, how do you go about, like, managing that momentum? Because now more and more, it seems, truthfully, I have never marketed for my private coaching ever. And so there's some momentum, obviously, there. And Jamie, you know, with the whole, I don't know if all of you know who Abraham Hicks is, but just that being in alignment with, you know, what I believe I'm really good at, my gifts and talents, I think is what is adding to this momentum. So how do I go about managing what else is coming to me, making sure that I am still putting myself out there in a way that I do have a flow for the future? And, but yet, you know, when I'm actually having a conversation with someone, how do I not turn them off because I can't take them on as a client right off the bat? And then lastly, just, this year, with changing my pricing structure and more than doubling my prices, my, you know, what it takes to work with me, the investment, I did start attracting a different level of client. And I almost feel like there's even another level of client that would be even, I'll say, more fun, more interesting to work with, because probably about half of my clients are in a position that they can actually invest in their advertising. The others are still kind of bootstrapping it along, which obviously changes the dynamics of what you can do with them. And so the people that actually have money to invest in their advertising and other opportunities, whether it be conventions or other things that they're doing, that is really interesting and really drawing me in that direction as well. So in a nutshell, that's where I'm at. And I'd love all of your input on how to handle. Yeah, it is. I mean, it sounds like a problem. It's not really. It's a problem from the standpoint. It's really great, right? And I just want to make sure that the flow is managed in a way that I'm being of service to them as well as getting a benefit on my end.
Amazing. So I'm going to let everybody jump in because I think Karen probably knows some of my thoughts, but I'll chime in at the end to make sure and wrap up the other pieces. But everybody else, give Karen what she needs.
This is Lane, and I don't see a problem with telling people there is a waiting list. I wouldn't necessarily phrase it like that, but it's all in the expectation. So if you get on the phone with somebody and you say, hey, just to let you know, right now I'm interviewing for our next, I don't know if you want to call it phase or flight or class or whatever it is, but if it's on like a three-month basis and you tell them, I'm enrolling now for March, I don't see a problem with that at all. It's just going through the whole thing and then at the end of the conversation saying, well, yeah, you can't work with me for 3 months. That would be weird. But if you set that expectation up front, I don't see a problem with that at all.
Okay. Thanks.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, Arianne.
It's Arianne. So I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
So you know, what happens to the iPhone 7 Jet Black when it's sold out? People go crazy about the iPhone 7 Jet Black, right? And in a way, it's like when you say, well, I'm kind of full, right? You almost say that like that's a bad thing, right? But that's, you know, that is a very, in my opinion at least, I think that's a very powerful sort of context, right? Because we use that on our, when we sell our developments all the time. For example, like, you know, when we have a new development, we basically tell people like, look, we sell at the pre-construction stage. So by the time this is on the ground, it's already going to be sold out. And that really gets people off the fence. And you can do the same thing here, meaning like you can tell people that a lot of your spots are limited. You know, people sign up before the program even starts, and that you have a really high repeat rate, meaning a lot of your clients are going to re-up the next time around. So I think I see tremendous opportunity here for you to, you know, not only sell it in advance without a problem, because I think that's going to be the easiest sales pitch for you to do. It's really going to sell itself. But I think I see some opportunity there for you to raise your prices probably by another 50% at least.
Okay, cool. Arianne, actually, during this call, remember when you and I had, you weren't here for my last hot seat, and then we had that call?
Right.
And you said, make sure that you're selling for the future, too. So I did actually, that was the first consultation call I've had since then, and I did say to her, like, this is a six-month commitment, but most of my clients end up working with me for at least a year. And I positioned it just like you said. So she was really like, really? Like, that is interesting. And she really absorbed that as well. So it felt a little weird saying it, but I'm like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to say it and see how it lands. And it landed really well. So thanks for that as well.
No problem.
Yeah, these are all great points for sure. I don't know why this feels like such a roadblock to me. I guess because I've been in the place of, I'm just always ready to jump in and help, so that it's like to say, okay, this is 2 months or 3 months down the road. Feels a little odd to me, but I think you're right. I mean, there's room for raising my prices, and I mean, who, selling in advance, you can't get any better than that for sure.
Well, and you get to solve bigger problems, right? Which is why you would charge higher prices.
Right.
You get to solve more interesting problems that people that have that sort of level of investment are going to have. So it makes the job a lot more fun as well.
For sure. Thank you.
Hey, it's Scott. Hey, I just
Hi,
have a
Scott.
Quick question. Hello. what else are you hung up on, like in terms of thinking about this? Because I totally agree with everything Ariane said, and I don't know that I would have said it any different myself. And you're in a great position. And what other places are you getting hung up on so that you can fill your future?
So
at very high prices.
I think at the heart of it is just the fear that someone won't want to wait. I think, like, they're getting on a call with me because they're ready to take action, or they seem to be wanting to take action. In their minds, that's where they think. And so my fear is, I guess, if I don't, which I could totally get, you know, a deposit, as Ariane mentioned before. But I guess I'm fearful that if I'm not ready to work with them right now, that they're not going to be there 3 months down the road or 2 months down the road. Like, they wouldn't wait. And then I would lose that sale. I think that's really the heart of, now that you asked me that question, I hadn't really thought about it before, but I think that's really, really the heart of it.
So then it sounds like you don't have any problems getting leads right now. Would it be really terrible if you did lose out on a sale or two, but ended up having your entire, you know, six or seven or however many clients you're working with or planning on working with, if you had all that full 3 months ahead of time, but also in addition to that, missed out on some sales?
Well, as long as the numbers all worked out, right? Like, you know, the idea would be always to have somebody funneling in as someone is funneling out, for sure. Can I do all of them? Absolutely not. If I started to market myself, like, actually talking about this, I mean, I don't even know what would happen, because, like I said, I have never, ever marketed for private coaching clients. These have just all come organically, either through recommendations or just people that have gotten on my list in other ways or have been through my STEP program, and then they want more with me.
Yeah.
But from the actual place of saying, hey, I'm, you know, I have an open spot, I haven't really done that. So would it be terrible? No, it wouldn't be terrible as long as that didn't leave a gap in my coaching program.
How much are you charging right now?
$9.97 a month. If they're paying monthly, and if they do a pay in full, they get a $500 discount. So they pay in full $5,500 for the 6 months.
And is that price, is that an upped price? Is that a, have you raised
yeah.
the prices recently or, okay.
Well, at the beginning of 2016, January, I upped my prices by more than 50%, which is
yeah,
where
I
think I said, yeah. It was like, okay, this is way too low, which I agree. And so the other thing that did, right, like that got rid of the people that barely had enough money that they were scraping together to hire me, that were just like, can you help me set up my PayPal? Can you help me set up my AWeber? You know, those kinds of things are really like VA things. That changed that. That's what I'm saying. I love that when I upped my prices, I started getting a different kind of client. And so that's why I'm wondering now if that's even the case again, which kind of goes back a little bit to my last hot seat when Josh was here.
Yeah.
You know, when he was saying, which I'm still figuring that out, just like the exclusivity of, okay, I only want to work with a few people. So that changes the game all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, if you work at three people for $2,000 per month instead of six people, same
exactly.
price last time.
Yes.
So one thing that I like to do logically in this situation is map out when your clients are ending. So look at the next 6 months. And I know you've had, because everything's sort of revolving and you don't know if they'll sign up again and that sort of thing. So I would actually go, okay, it looks like I'll need a client in March. It looks like I'll need a client in May. It looks like I'll need a client, you know what I mean, as you're going through.
Yep.
That way we have an idea of where you're at. for some of those things. The amazing thing is you can send one email to your list and probably get a whole bunch of coaching applications. So I get the fear, and we have an easy solution to whatever that problem is right now. So what I do is we sort of put a number on this. So when I get too many coaching, I just raise my prices again also. when we get too many 101s, with AJ, she's like, what do you want me to do with this? I ask her to send them to me so I can take a quick look at them. If I think they're freaking fantastic and amazing, I will get on a call with them soon and then try and do the deposit thing. If I think they are, you know, might be a part-time client, not a full-time client or something like that, then I will have her postpone and say, Jamie's full on coaching. We're going to follow up in 2 months. Totally understand if you find someone else in the meantime, but we'd love to talk to you then. So I can preempt and sort of prioritize the ones that I think are amazing, because let's say you start doing the deposits with all of the ones that you have. You get a deposit from someone, you're like, okay, I'm holding that spot, but man, I had this other application come in and they were so much more amazing and they seem like they'll be a full-time client instead. So we sort of go down that path. So if the ones that just aren't, don't look perfect, which is totally fine, I don't want to ever say no, right? We're just going to say, okay, we'll just contact you in a little bit. And then AJ's great about following up and scheduling them and that sort of thing. That way you can sort of preempt a little bit and prioritize the ones that you really, really want to work with. And then worst comes to worst, if as far as contingency plans go, if you're like, shoot, it's coming up on May and I don't have any applications or anyone that I think is an amazing fit that can pay my prices, that's when we do a push for your email list. And that's super simple. I mean, literally, it's whenever I've tried to get one-on-one clients, it's me pushing out one email or maybe two that's like, hey, by the way, fill out this application if you're interested. And with the way people love you, I don't think that would be a problem. And then you do the same thing. All those applications, we prioritize and we try and get deposits if you have any extras and that sort of thing. It's just that type of system.
So you currently have a way for them to sign up on your website, right? Like if they're interested, fill out a contact form or something, correct?
Yeah, we have a coaching application.
Okay, that goes to AJ, and then you go through that process that you just described. So the thing that I would have to do differently initially would be, okay, don't register or don't schedule their consultation call. Start with.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they go right to your consultation. Yeah, no, I would start with an application, very much like we went over with Scott. We want to have more information before you take your time with them.
Okay.
Hey, Karen? No, I just wanted to make one suggestion that might alleviate like the fear of, you know, kind of having empty spots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think signing up new clients for the future can also help you like get some leverage on the people that you're already coaching, right, to try and get them to re-up, right? So you can say something like, you know, well, I've got only 7 spots and, you know, 2 new people have already signed up and I'm going to offer it to everybody that's already, you know, that I'm working with. So would you be interested in doing it one more time? So it creates that scarcity mindset for them as well, because like they don't want to lose their spot if they were even thinking about working with you for another 6 months.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Thank you. Yeah. So what about pricing then? Like do you all feel like I should be raising my prices again?
Yes.
So,
when you're full, raise.
Yes. So Karen, what is your pricing? What do you think is a good idea for your pricing to up it to if you were to up it? And then how does that feel? Because I also want to make sure I know you and you're such a giver, and I don't want you to feel like, it's too much. I of course, know you're worth it. The guys that were like, yes, they also know you're worth it, of course. But I want to make sure that it feels good for you also, because I know we talked about pricing beforehand, and I remember we had quite a long conversation on it, you know, almost a year ago, and now you're like, oh, wow, that was easier than I thought. So where are you at? Where do you think you would want to go as far as pricing goes, and what feels good?
So Like I said, so it's $997 a month if they pay monthly, or the $5,500 if they pay in full. Gosh, I hadn't really thought about this from the number standpoint. I was looking at you guys to tell me all this.
Let me put it in context too. What is your typical client? How much are they making in general, and how much are you helping them make more? I know it's more than just making more money. I get that, but I know you help with that also. So,
yeah. Gosh, they're all in such different places. I don't know that I could even average that out. Some of them, I'm just helping them with like new ventures. Like one gal, she just bought an internet radio station, so we're working on, marketing for that. And so, I mean, like that is a whole new venture. She hasn't even, like, she just bought it, and actually the takeover is like January 1st. So we're doing all the behind the scenes stuff, and she and I keep talking to her about making more money, and she's like, okay, I've got enough on my plate. I just want to focus on this. Oh, and she just has a new book that's coming out this week, actually. So we've been marketing, working on marketing the book. So her projects really haven't, she's been doing her health coaching and all that. Like that's been consistent, but the projects that we've been working on are like future projects. So they haven't really hit yet.
Does she make a year right now?
I would say, well, she's also an attorney. So are we talking like all together, or are we talking just health coaching?
I want to know both. The thing is she an ideal client for you? Do you really love working with her?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yes, she's amazing. Okay, perfect.
Super interesting.
So she must make more than six figures with attorney and this.
Oh, definitely. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So, and that's what I'm trying to get at also. So if you love working with them, because I have clients in the health space that pay me $3,000 a month, right? And so I know that there are companies and people that have the money, right? So so what I'm trying to get at is going, okay, who do we love working with? What can they afford? And if you were to say her, for example, could she pay you $1,500 or $2,000 a month for what you're doing for her?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, well, that's
without even a blinking an eye, definitely.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, let's go over one of your other ideal clients that you have right now. That way we can ask that same question. I just want to see how it's aligning.
So another ideal client, she is... Well, what's been great about her, so she's doing MLM, essential oils, and health coaching, right? And what's been interesting about the evolution of us coaching together is she's went from leading with health coaching to now leading with essential oils. She had this split personality for, all of her marketing, and it was not a good situation. So she's leading now with that essential oils. And that has been really great. She's just recently made that commitment, and she's already starting to build her downline. So I haven't really gotten any specific numbers from her financially, but she's understanding now that business model for her is more lucrative than the health coaching, and the health coaching can then supplement, she can get health coaching clients from that. So that has been an interesting client as well, just because those two business models, although they're complementary, they are very different models, right? And so that has been really fun. Again, she has money for advertising. She is willing to do anything as far as marketing. She'll do video. She'll do Facebook live streaming. Like, she isn't hung up on the, oh my gosh, what's everybody going to think? Like, she really wants to build her business. So that, to me, has been really exciting to work with her. So again, that's a different level of client than somebody who's just starting out and has all these fears and anxieties around marketing.
Yep. So you like interest. It's funny, I just saw Doctor Strange this weekend, and I don't know if you've seen it or not, but being able to, he gets to choose his cases based on what's interesting. So he's a doctor. And he's like, that's not interesting enough, I don't want to do it. Right? So when I start thinking of who your ideal client is, because you just, I mean, you are so lucky, well, not lucky, you worked your butt off, right? And to be in the position that you are, and to be able to do fun and interesting things is huge for you right now. And the great thing is that the people that you're saying that are fun and interesting to you are pricing out all of the others is going to be perfect. So, because that way you'll get more interesting type of things. So when we start thinking about those two types of ideal clients, how much would you feel really, really, really good about charging them? Like, yay, this is more money for me and it's amazing. And they know that it's value times 10 and you're really amazing about that.
So, okay, so when you guys first started asking me, I guess the number that popped into my head was like $14.97 a month per client. But I don't know if I'm stretched, if that's like, am I comfortable there because I'm just comfortable there, or do I need to be pushed into closer to $2,000 a month?
Do you have a part-time package at all, or no? This is just this is only one option, correct?
Yeah. I don't know. So do I need a part-time package? I don't even know what that would look like.
Well, the reason why I love the part-time package is because you can, A, it anchors. So you can go, my normal package is $3,000 a month. And they're like, oh, gosh. So they know that you're worth $3,000 a month, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But if you have the lower price at $2,000 or whatever, so you could have like a $2,500 package for full-time or a $2,000 package at full-time. You offer that first. If they're like, oh, my gosh, I don't think that works, then you go, well, I have a part-time package also, which is less time with you in terms of that. You can always go above and beyond if you want to do that also. But it allows you to charge a lot more per hour and for your whole thing, but it fits within what's good for them.
So is the part-time package typically just 50% of whatever the full-time package is?
I used to do a little bit more. So I had been doing 50%, but then people were like, well, that seems like a no-brainer. I might as well, you know. So having it be a little bit more because I include email and that sort of thing also. The way that I split mine up is my full-time is 3 one-hour sessions. So it's 3 weeks in a row and then 1 week off for full-time.
Mm-hmm.
We just upped the prices again. So now it's $5,000. But when you look at the part-time package, it's 2 45-minute sessions. And I actually prefer, and this is something that I learned as we went, I loved full-time. Now I feel like I've gotten way more efficient with laser coaching, so we don't have to go into the nitty-gritty. So sometimes I don't even need an hour. I mean, you guys know. Sometimes we're like, we got it done in a half an hour. Yay, right? We have super amazing, efficient people. They actually don't need a lot, which is wonderful, right? So I'm not like stuck in the weeds. The starter people I found just take a lot more of you. So I prefer the part-time package. I just want to make sure I'm getting paid enough for it, right? So that's why I have the anchor.
Right.
So I've put a few full-times right now, but they need the work. They need that much time. But most that are already going forward, 2 45-minute sessions is enough. So trying to figure out where that sweet spot is for you and if you actually like one side or the other would be interesting. So I personally would add it back in, but I'd love to hear everybody else's thoughts on what, because you guys know Karen well over the last year. I'd love everybody else's thoughts on what we're talking about. I kind of took over the conversation.
I love doing the part-time and full-time. This is Scott. We've been doing that for about, about a year or so now. And now the coach that I hired, we book out at, I don't know, it's like 60% or something along those lines. I can't remember the exact book out. But 60% for part-time and then obviously the 100% for full-time. I would suggest doing it. It gives so many more options.
So when you're saying 60%, you're talking about pricing?
Yep, 60% pricing. So for her, it's $850 a month for full-time, and for part-time, it's $475 a month. And then for me, it's $2,000 or mm-hmm. 2,000 for full time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just upped my part time again. So I think we're going to actually set that today at, so this is actually helpful for me too, because we were just trying to decide what we're going to set my part time rate at. Because we've got a couple other coaching clients coming in. So I think we're going to set that at like 1,100 or something.
Okay. So what is your, so tell me, like, what is your full-time package look like versus your part-time package? How many?
It's an hour four times a month with email support in between. Part-time is.
Okay.
Yeah, for full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've traditionally had the halftime be an hour, but I was just thinking about what Jamie was saying, and I actually really like the 45-minute framework, because even mm-hmm. if I go over that 45 minutes, it feels like an added bonus versus, versus not getting through something or whatever else, whatever the opposite could be. So I think I might actually switch to that.
So then 2 45-minute sessions is what you're thinking?
Yeah, in a given month.
I like that, too.
This is Lane, and I had a couple thoughts on the part-time. And I think my concern is just that you're able to draw the line, because knowing you, you'll go above and beyond. And I would hate to see people pay part-time fees, and then they end up getting full-time service because you have an idea or your brain can't turn off or you give them more support or that kind of thing. So I would just, if you're comfortable with that, you can draw that line, then I think it would be really great. But make sure you're getting paid for the time you spend.
Yeah,
I love that you said that, Lane, because that actually happened to me a little bit. The reason why I like the, because I would just do an hour, but the way I back-to-back coaching clients, I would do an hour, so I could only go over by 15 minutes, and because they only schedule two, it wasn't that. It's not as though I'm doing an extra session with them. Do you know what I mean? So either way, at the most, they were getting 2 hours instead of 45 minutes each session, an hour and a half, which was fine for me. So I kept going, oh, wait, we went over a little bit again. I told you I just love helping. And they're like, oh, she loves helping, right? But we just go over a little bit each time. And it wasn't as though I was, like, doing an extra whole session or anything like that, just so, you know, because I had that problem. I used to leave it open, more open. But I also let them change sessions. I'm not sure if you guys do this, but so some of my full-time clients don't need 3 sessions in 1 month, and I let them sort of bump it out. I will specifically tell them, you know what, you only need 2 sessions this month. Let's take that one off. Or if they're part-time and they're going through, like, a lot, I'll be like, hey, you know what, we're going to sort of squeeze this up a little bit, and when you don't need the extra sessions later, we'll bump those back also. I only want people to do a session when they really feel like it's necessary, and you guys know sometimes there's, oh my gosh, I need it right now, and other times you're like, no, I'm good for the next 3 weeks. I already know. I'm on plan. Let's go, right? So I sort of finagle things around a little bit, but yeah, just be aware. But what I found with the part-time stuff is only booking 2, there was only so much extra I could give without doing like an extra hour or something. That's one of the reasons why we do it. We don't do 3 30-minute sessions because I would totally go over. So I get it.
Yeah, I
totally
guess,
get it.
I guess it depends on, too, where the time's coming in, because if there's email support and then a part-time client gets that same level of email support and they're emailing every day, then you're spending more time there. So I guess it just depends on where you're spending the time as the coach. Is it the phone time, or is it research email time? Is it thought time? How does that break down versus live?
I just make sure to charge enough so it doesn't matter to me.
That's exactly.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I like the idea. I honestly have never even considered a part-time program. Like, I've just said all along, like, no, this is the only program I offer, which I don't know. Maybe that's why. I mean, knock on wood, seriously, like the last probably 5 or 6 consultation calls I've had, I've closed every single one of them. So I would say my skills in that area of presenting myself and my program are even getting better this year as well. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel super comfortable in that space now. And even when I got off the phone, my husband had been sitting in the next room, and I'm like, am I too intense on these calls? Like, is that too much? And he's like, no, he sounded great. So I don't know. This year has been a huge transformation year for me in this space, which, again, I think is why it's flowing the way it's flowing.
I just love hearing that. Sorry.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jamie, honestly, you've been a big help in this. Well, you've been a huge help in this area. And then just listening, I've learned so much from this mastermind, from each of, like, every single one of us, even though we don't have the same business model, there's always something we can take from one another and apply to our business. So that has been so wonderful.
Aw, we feel the love, Karen. So we have 13 minutes left, and I want to make sure you feel super clear at the end of this on what steps you're going to be taking. Is there anything else you want to hash out? Because we didn't actually say price points. We didn't say some of that stuff. We didn't put any lines in the sand. So you tell me where you want to go with the rest of the time.
Well, I guess I'm looking. I've been writing numbers down as everyone's been talking, and I'm leaning towards, like, January 1, moving to $19.97 a month for my full time, and then doing a part time package at $12.97, which would give them like 2 45-minute calls a month. How does that sound?
Oh yeah, so that's where I was kind of going with it also. So I like it, but I'll let everybody else chime in there too.
That sounds great.
By the way, Karen, that's $864 an hour if they did no email. Just saying.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess my question next then would be, since we have a few minutes left, and Jamie, this is probably, we're probably going to continue this conversation on our coaching call on Wednesday, but just my own positioning as far as what is the conversation I'm leading with, you know, I'll say a free offer, whatever, a lead magnet, to start attracting higher-end clients. Like, I don't think it is, you know, how to create your free offer or how to identify your ideal client. I feel like the people that I want to work with already have a pretty good idea of the direction they want to go, already have some business underway, and just need really like clarity in their marketing and a business model that actually works online.
I'm going to be quiet right now and let everybody else talk, because me and you will talk. I have so many thoughts on this, but I'm going to let you have all the smarter people on the call right now. So we have 10 minutes left. Go ahead and give Karen your brilliance. Go.
Hey, Scott. I agree with you that it probably is something different. You've been working with some of these people coaching. Do you, and I apologize, I stopped running to to talk. What are their problems? I mean, I would say, we don't even have to answer that now unless it's helpful, but I would say, you know, the challenges that they're having, and you see those commonalities that are amongst all the clients that are at that level and where you started with them.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably start your search there with how to build up a funnel, at least on the entry point, because that's what I felt like you were asking. What's the entry point to the funnel? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we talked, you know, in the last hot seat just about the fact that I've never brought into the conversation with my email list, you know, all the things I have a background in, that I owned a property management company, that I've managed multi-million-dollar projects, that, you know, I have built houses and I've owned a restaurant and, you know, all these things that I've done that I have never even talked about. So, right, so like for me, as far as what I bring to the table, I can bring a lot of business experience And I see the big picture, which is something that a lot of business owners can't see. They get lost in the day-to-day, where I hold that space for them. And I love that because I do that very well. So I just don't know how to get that out into the world as an attraction piece of content, I guess, that positions me in that way that says, hey, like this gal has a lot of business experience in a lot of different areas, and I'd like to talk to her about my business. It just feels like more than the everyday, you know, stuff that people have on their website. Like, I'm just so sick of, like, the same old, same old, same old that everybody's doing, like, the same thing. Like, yeah, we all talk about setting ourselves apart, but I do feel like I have something more to add than just the average coach. But I don't know how to bring that to life in my business as a way of attracting higher-end clients.
Karen?
Yes?
It's Monica.
Hi, Monica.
Hi.
You're very different today, Monica. I don't know what's going on.
I'm telling you, I'm all cracked out on these superfoods. It's like insane.
Her voice is different, isn't it?
That's because I lost my voice over the weekend, so I'm just getting it back. However,
well, you sound very sexy, just so you know.
Oh gosh. Well, maybe I should do some quick voiceovers and get some, you know, some money through the door, you know, and some other kind of entertainment. All right. Anyway, so I this goes back to our conversation about brand. I mean, I think what you're asking here, there are two things. One, you're talking about funnel, and two, we're talking about brand, and those are married, right? So it's probably a much bigger conversation, but you know. I know in order to get to the next level, you have to talk about those things because they don't know you. I would consider doing this. I would start asking myself, who do I want to be? You know, you're moving into this next phase. What kind of footprint are we looking to have here? And in addition to that, what the hell do I want to do with this list?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, we need to answer, in order to answer all of that effectively, I think we need to figure out, just from a functionality standpoint, what you're going to do. You know, we know that you're going to work with these clients. We know that you're going to do part-time, full-time consulting, let's say, quote, unquote, right,
mm-hmm.
with these packages that have been developed. But you have a list, you have products, you have other things, you know, so I think as we start to answer some of those questions, we'll be able to move. And I mean, I obviously can help with differentiating factors and all positioning and all that stuff. But we got to answer some of those strategic questions too. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing should hold you back right now from talking about those things. So you have two things that are happening. One, if you want to get more of those clients, which you don't need right now, you'd developing a marketing campaign that goes directly to the list that you already have, and you're basically going to extract the people that we can from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you may run some campaigns just to get them tagged and so forth, so you can really, when you're ready to open up more slots, can, you know, specifically market to them or, you know, just learn more about them, I guess, if you want, although most people don't answer surveys correctly, right, or honestly all the time. And then the second piece that you're dealing with is the future ongoing marketing and funnel. And so it's like we're kind of moving out of one and into another. I don't think anything should hold you back from starting to talk about the things that you know and can do and your experience, et cetera, because you can't exhaust your marketplace of that. Dan Kennedy, cleared something up for me about 8 years ago, which was, You know who Dan Kennedy is, right?
Yes, I sure do.
Okay. We get exhausted of talking about our brand and the same stories in marketing, but people forget, right? And so it's okay to step out there and start talking about those things right now, and it might get a little boring to you, but the market forgets, and they have to be reminded. So I think I just talked in a couple of different directions. I hope you were able to pull a few things from that.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank
You're welcome.
Oh, I hit the wrong button. I was just saying, did anyone else have anything left? I know we only have 4 minutes left, and I want to make sure if nobody has anything, Karen, you can just we can recap sort of the actions, especially from what Monica just said.
Mm-hmm.
But does anyone have anything last minute to add for Karen? Such an efficient call.
Yes, it was. Thank you, everyone, so much. Like, I didn't know where this conversation was going to go, but I had confidence it was going to be amazing, and it certainly was. I have a whole page full of notes here, definitely. I feel really good about the change in the packages, the price points. That makes me really happy. I feel super comfortable in that space. 99% of the battle, I think. Jamie, I'm just assuming you and I will continue the conversation, I'll say, about the branding.
I want to give you some work. I'm going to give you an action item right now, though, before Wednesday, okay?
Oh.
So,
yeah.
Yay. Good. Okay, so what I want you to do, especially in line with what Monica was saying, is when you start getting in these super high-level stuff, sometimes it's custom, for sure. But there's a pattern. There's a big-time pattern, and I want you to figure out what that pattern is, not only you know, what's interesting, but also what the core of what you think they need. So specifically, like Monica had said, we're not talking about, like, you have so much potential to start a business, yay, right? Instead, it's like the calls. Think of the sales calls when you've sold the perfect ideal clients that you now know are ideal clients. Think of their language and what they're talking about and how they're framing it. Right? Are they talking about potential, like, oh, there's so much potential and I just don't have enough time, and we can make sure that that goes into it as far as the solution goes? Because one of the biggest things that I heard, and I think you know this anyway, is when you start getting to higher and higher levels, they don't care about the money. They care about the time way more. How can we make this more efficient, better, faster? And that's where pulling in the previous business stuff and your knowledge on that is going to be huge. So I just want sort of a recap. It can just be, you know, a paragraph or two or something like that. But I want you to sort of recap what that is and if you have a specific way that you solve that for them. Like Monica was saying, is there a system? Is there like a thing that we sort of plug them into? What is that? And that way on Wednesday when we sort of go from a branding standpoint, we'll just have something to work with to begin with.
Perfect. Got it. I'll get that to you. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. I so appreciate it.